the AgeCode podcast, where we speak with experts and trusted partners to share tips, tools, and advice on how we can make the most of later life. I'm Heather Shaw. Today, we'll be talking about the topic of change and how we can adapt to it. Change happens to us all and at every stage in our lives. Sometimes it's welcome and other times not so much. But do we tend to face more changes as we get older? What tools and life skills can we learn at any age to help us adapt to physical and emotional changes in a positive and healthy way? We've turned to Sue Brown, a life and personal performance coach, specialising in proactive change mindsets, to help us answer some of these questions and more. Hello, Sue. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Heather, and thanks for inviting me here to talk about something that's important to all of us, affects all of us, and how we can deal with it and keep on top.
As a quick introduction for our listeners, could you tell us a little bit about what life coaching is and what inspired you to go into this direction?
Yeah, of course. So I made the change of career into life coaching, having been through so much change in my own life and having dealt with it, I guess, like most of us, with varying degrees of success. But it was through coaching that I found the confidence to make some of the biggest changes. With that sort of clarity that I needed. And until then, I would worry about whether I was doing the right thing or what other people would think of me, all those sorts of things that people worry about but are perfectly natural. And I have great family, great friends, but coaching was the space that I needed to think clearly about what was really important to me and how that should shape my future. And so here I am.
Lovely. And when we talk about change, what do we mean by that? Is it small changes, big changes? Can it be both?
It can be both. So, and it depends on the individual. I suppose things impact us in a different way, don't they? You know, to some of us that we might take change in our stride and others might feel like it's a huge obstacle. Depends whether that change is put on you or whether you're creating it yourself sometimes.
And would you say we lose our ability to adapt to change as we get older?
Yeah, I think that depends on the individual as well. So generally you might feel that it's too late for us to make change for ourselves, but it's not. We might need some support to discover what change we need and start planning for that. And also we might have a lot of things to consider, a lot of responsibilities, and it can be hard to get your head around what's going to work for you and for your loved ones. Or maybe we've had change foisted on us by circumstances. So, for example, some family dynamics, health issues such as, for example, a cancer diagnosis and treatment, or relationship breakdowns. And these can happen at any age, of course. But when you think your life's going in one direction and then suddenly it's not, it can be confusing and difficult to navigate.
And would you say our attitude impacts our ability to adapt to change?
Definitely. It's huge. And you do have to work at it. So you might be holding on to some beliefs that are holding you back, or maybe you've experienced something similar in the past. And so you think, oh, yeah, I know how to deal with this. And you're dealing with it with old thoughts and processes, but maybe they don't really work now. So you're getting a bit frustrated thinking, why is this not happening for me? Why is this going this way? So also, much as you might want to fight change, it is going to happen. So if we can learn to accept it, if not embrace it, it will help us to move on to new things. And people often see failure as simply that, when actually it's an opportunity to learn and to grow.
Do you have any examples for any of our listeners of people who have potentially faced, change and been able to adapt to it in the way that you're describing?
Yeah, there's a few, but I think the one I can speak best about is myself. And I think I'm a living example of this. So I was in my 50s. I had a great job, good friends, a gorgeous family, grandkids, a roof over my head, so much to be grateful for, and I was, but I wasn't entirely happy. And my job was interesting, and I met some amazing people through it, but there was something missing. And I discovered coaching and decided that was what I wanted to do. But then the pandemic came, and I worked all the way through that. and dealing, as we all did, with all sorts of new changes that we that came with that. So I didn't fully invest into the training like I wanted to. And so then I had one of those milestone birthdays. I had my 60th birthday, and changes were also being made at work that didn't really fit with what I wanted to do. So I thought, well, if not now, when? When am I going to do this? You know, am I going to carry on into my retirement feeling like this? So I did what I needed to do to qualify as a coach and to start my own business. And for me, that meant leaving my full-time job as a manager in a local charity. I then took 2 months off, which was delightful, and then worked part-time while studying. And it was a huge decision. I had to work through all of it and all the what-ifs and the self-doubt to reach that point. But once I'd made it, I felt lighter and more in control. And it was literally the best thing I ever did.
Well, it sounds like, listening to your example there, you know, you talked about, you know, outward signs of, you know, having the nice family, the great job, and then also coming into contact with things outside of your control, like COVID, obviously. And it sounds like all these things, you know, whether you've got one or both or many, they can be quite isolating. And I wonder, you know, there might be listeners out there who are listening and feeling a little bit isolated themselves because they're going through changes. So what would be some of the telltale signs that someone might benefit from getting a bit of extra support?
Yeah, I think you're right, Heather. I think a lot of people do feel isolated in different ways. And of course, that does happen. It's very easy then to fall into a habit of negative self-talk and not looking after your own needs. And some of the signs that you could do with a bit of support might be if you're feeling stuck in your current situation and you don't know how to move forward, or you have a lack of direction, or maybe you're struggling with your self-esteem and your confidence. And I don't know anyone who hasn't experienced procrastination at some point, because you don't know where to begin. And if you're struggling with stress and feeling overwhelmed or burnt out, that is the time to look for some support from friends, family, colleagues, or professional help.
So when you say reaching out to friends and family, in what ways can those people in our lives and even the local community around us help someone adapt to change?
They can make a huge difference. So friends and family can be there to listen to their loved one, try and be positive for them and encourage them to change and develop themselves. Initially, just listening, though, is one of the best things you can do. I remember coming home many times from work complaining about one thing and another, whether it was the traffic or the day that I'd had, and my family just listening to me, letting me get it off my chest until I made that decision about what I wanted to do. And as I say, it's one of the best things you can do. And don't judge, be kind, give people space and time. And, you know, a little time given freely and without asking for anything back is so appreciated. If you have any podcasts or books or other things that have helped you in the past, you can mention them, but don't expect that everyone's going to react to them in the same way. We're all different and we all work through things in our own way. So be patient. That's really key. And as far as communities are concerned, they can provide support for people going through big change later in life. And often finding other people who are going through similar change or have been through that similar change can be invaluable, like support groups, or maybe groups that don't look like support groups, but that's what they give you, that peer support, you know, other people who've been through the same thing. And there's some amazing organisations out there that do that, including Age UK, Carer Support, etc. And they can signpost you to other things, either online or local to you, that might help. But sometimes it might be about making some time for you. So by the time we reach our 50s and 60s, we could be surrounded by responsibilities, including work, caring for family members, children and grandchildren, and carving out time for ourselves seems selfish, but it's not. And I'm sure that you've heard that phrase, Heather, you can't pour from an empty cup. You can't help others if you're feeling exhausted or unfulfilled yourself. And it might be just half an hour a day to have a bath and read a book. It might be a weekly yoga class or other activity, gardening, volunteering, whatever it is, make it happen and make it work for you.
Lovely. I think on that last point, doing stuff for ourselves, having a bit of self-care, there's probably some people listening right now who are thinking, you know, I'm not ready to see a life coach, or I'm not sure I'm ready just yet, but I like the sound of, you know, taking some time out for me. So what tips and tools would you offer someone if they were not in a position to see someone like yourself, or didn't think they were ready yet, but do want to find, you know, those little ways to take care of themselves during this time?
Yeah, that's a great question. And there is a lot that you can do for yourself. And I would say the first thing that you can do is listen to your inner voice, that bit of you that sometimes gets buried under all the stuff, all the day-to-day stuff. Make time to think about what you need. Also think about what's holding you back. Pay attention to that self-talk and those limiting beliefs that we put on ourselves, and challenge them a bit. And ask yourself if they are really true. And, you know, what's the evidence for me feeling like that? What's the evidence for me thinking that I can never do this, that, or the other? Try replacing negative thoughts with positive ones and see what that does to how you feel and your own energy. It sounds quite simplistic, but it does work. And write it down. Getting things out of your head and onto paper or your phone or whatever, however you want to do it. Sounds so simple, but it works. And keep a notebook by your bed so that if you're woken in the night or you can't sleep, you can write it down and reflect back on it in the morning. And sometimes it makes perfect sense and gives you great clarity. Other times you think, what on earth was I thinking? And, you know, but just getting it out of your head so that you can sleep properly and feel better in the morning. I also think that podcasts are really good for helping as well, in that, you know, if you can find something that's meaningful to you, it doesn't have to be heavy and serious. Sometimes some comedy can bring what we need and a fresh perspective on things. So knowing that we're not on our own and another feels the same way is also really helpful. And then lastly, really take action. So set yourself a goal. And then break it down into manageable chunks, and focus on making just a little bit of progress each day. And again, note that progress, you know, at the end of the day, think, right, what have I done to move forward a bit today? And then just really be patient with yourself, but also be persistent and keep going.
That's lovely advice. On the last point, you know, let's say you set a goal, but you're having a bit of trouble reaching it, and you might find actually you do need that bit of extra support, or you've been listening and, you know, you're finding the advice you're giving so helpful, you kind of wish that you had, you know, a life coach in your life to give you that all the time. So if someone was in a position to see a life coach such as yourself, what would a session look like, and what might a person expect to get out of that kind of work?
So what someone gets out of coaching will in part depend on what their relationship is with the coach and also what they're prepared to put into it. What it does give you is an opportunity to make time and space to talk about something that is important to you with someone who has absolutely no bias or judgment about it. It also gives you, if you want it, someone to hold you accountable and to help you stay on track with your goals and plans. So you say, if somebody comes to me and they've got their goal worked out already, that's great, but some people may need a bit of a hand to find that out, or maybe they've made that goal but they haven't broken it down into smaller chunks, so they think it's unachievable. I've had clients who've handed their notice in order to pursue their goal after coaching. I know, sounds drastic. One who had the confidence to go after a different role in the same organisation, and another one who found it much easier to balance their business, study and family commitments whilst also improving their sleep patterns in the process. So the first thing that most coaches do when someone expresses an interest in coaching with them is to have a chat about what coaching is and what it isn't, how they work and how to get an idea of what the issue is. And so, you know, sometimes people get coaching and counselling confused. Counselling is looking back coaching is very much forward facing. It's about the future and it's about those goals. And that's the main difference, if you like. So once you've had that initial discussion, both parties can decide whether or not they think they're a good fit. Because as I said, that rapport and that relationship of trust is absolutely critical to the coaching process. And coaching packages vary, but I always start with a longer chat about the client's current position, what their core values are, what's important to them, and start thinking about what their goal might look like. And then every session's different. And that's what I love about it, really. It's led by the client. The content is what the client brings and the process is what the coach does. So it's sort of keeping control of that. And a coach doesn't ever offer advice. That's not coaching. We believe that the client absolutely has the answer within them. We help them by giving them the time and space to be heard, to say things out loud that they might not say to other people. And asking sometimes quite powerful questions that help them to form in their own minds what they need and how to get it. And when I work with someone, I also offer accountability checks in between sessions if the client wants it, and help them put together a plan for them to reach their goal. Yeah, and I can't emphasise enough, obviously the coaching process is completely confidential, but most importantly, non-judgmental. And a coach may challenge you if they feel you're being a bit hard on yourself, so be prepared for that. They can also help you to see another perspective, which is really useful if you are feeling stuck. Yes, as I say, it's not counselling. We may look at your skills and experience, but we won't delve into your past. And as I said, it's always future focused. And a lot of coaching happens online these days for obvious reasons. I think we've all got used to that over the last 3 years or so. And it's also quite convenient. But many coaches like me offer face-to-face coaching as well, or on the phone, or even a walk around the park if the weather's up to it and that's what you feel like doing.
Lovely. Well, I'll keep an eye out in my local park for any life coaching going on. And that has been so lovely to hear, and it's wonderful advice. Thank you so much for coming down, Sue, and sharing all this expertise with us.
Thank you. I've really enjoyed it. And I hope that some of what we've talked about today is really helpful for people.
Yeah. And if anyone who's been listening to this podcast would like to learn more about Sue and her life coaching business, you can visit thecrosswordscoaching.com to find her online, or you can even look her up on Facebook and Instagram. And if you've enjoyed today's episode and you'd like to find more podcasts or are looking for useful articles on a wide range of topics for those who are enjoying their later life, you can find everything on ageco.co.uk. Thank you again, Sue, for coming in. And thank you guys for listening. See you next time.